When Amy Chua's memoir hit bookshelves in 2011, it ignited a firestorm. The Wall Street Journal's provocative excerpt, "Why Chinese Mothers Are Superior," generated over 8,000 comments in days, the most in the publication's history. Within weeks, the book rocketed to #4 on the New York Times bestseller list and was translated into 30 languages. Why such intense reaction? At its core, Battle Hymn of the Tiger Mother exposes the raw nerve of modern parenting anxieties. It's a brutally honest account of one mother's determination to raise exceptional children through methods many Western parents find shocking and others secretly admire. Chua's controversial approach forces us to confront uncomfortable questions. What does successful parenting truly look like? How much pressure is too much? And what price are we willing to pay for excellence? As we navigate an increasingly competitive global landscape, these questions have never felt more urgent. The differences between Chinese and Western parenting reflect fundamentally different beliefs about children and success. While Western parents fear academic pressure harms self-esteem, Chinese parents spend 10 times longer drilling academics, believing struggle builds confidence. The Chinese model holds firm convictions. Schoolwork comes first, A- is unacceptable, children must excel in demanding activities, and academic achievement reflects parental effectiveness. These aren't mere preferences, but core beliefs about responsibility. At its heart, the Chinese approach stems from deep faith in children's capabilities, not cruelty. Where Western parents offer comfort and permission to quit when children struggle, Chinese parents prescribe more practice and discipline, convinced their children can achieve anything with proper guidance. The approach rejects the Western belief that learning should always be fun. Chinese parenting operates on the principle that enjoyment follows mastery, and mastery requires initially unpleasant work. This creates what Chua calls the virtuous circle. Enforced practice leads to excellence, which brings satisfaction and motivates further achievement, building lasting character and resilience. From infancy, Sophia and Lulu displayed opposite personalities. Firstborn, Sophia was naturally focused, by 18 months knowing the alphabet, and by 3, reading Sartre and doing set theory. Her disposition aligned seamlessly with Chinese parenting methods. Lulu, named Famous Warrior and Coral, was a wild one with an angel's face, combining fierce determination with delicate sensibilities. When Chua attempted piano lessons at age 3, using methods that worked with Sophia, Lulu refused, leading to a standoff that ended with Chua putting her outside in freezing weather, where even with chattering teeth, Lulu wouldn't yield. Both girls achieved early success, Sophia excelling at piano and performing at Carnegie Hall, Lulu becoming concertmaster of a prestigious youth orchestra despite her resistance. Their different personalities foreshadowed divergent responses to tiger parenting as they approached adolescence. Despite their contrasting reactions, Sophia's acceptance versus Lulu's resistance, the sisters formed a close bond, becoming comrades in arms against their overbearing, fanatic mother as they navigated growing up with a tiger mother in American society. The Chua family legacy traces back to a 17th century Chinese royal astronomer through her immigrant parents. Her mother excelled in chemical engineering after surviving war in the Philippines, while her mathematician father chose academics over wealth. They came to America in 1960 with only scholarships and determination. Amy's childhood was distinctly Chinese-American, speaking Mandarin at home, rigorous math and piano practice, and no sleepovers. Her father's standards were absolute. Second place in competitions was unacceptable. Cultural differences permeated daily life, from Chinese lunches to strict language rules. This heritage informs Chua's parenting approach, merging traditional values with American life. Her worry about generational decline comes from observing how drive diminishes across generations, from hardworking immigrants to successful but relaxed second-generation Americans to a third generation often lacking their ancestors' determination. For Lulu and her mother, the violin became their central battleground. Though blessed with near-perfect pitch, Lulu fought against practice sessions, which Chua describes as mutual threats, blackmail, and extortion. Despite being less technically precise than Sophia on piano, Lulu performed with captivating style. Chua selected the violin for Lulu unilaterally, believing her younger daughter needed an even more demanding instrument than piano, a choice that would strain their relationship. The Little White Donkey incident crystallized their struggle. When 7-year-old Lulu attempted to quit the challenging piano piece, Chua stood firm. Through a fierce standoff involving torn music sheets and her husband's worried intervention, Chua persisted. Hours later, Lulu mastered the piece, proudly declaring, "Mommy, look, it's easy." Her subsequent brilliant recital performance seemed to validate Chua's methods. As Lulu matured, the violin evolved from an achievement tool to a symbol of control. The breaking point came when, denied a haircut after showing disrespect, Lulu locked herself in her room and cut off her wavy hair, a dramatic rebellion against her mother's authority. The climactic confrontation unfolds in Moscow's Red Square when Lulu refuses to try caviar at an outdoor cafe. "I hate you," Lulu explodes. "I'm not Chinese. I hate the violin. I hate my life." After Lulu smashes a glass, Chua finds herself running across Red Square in tears, utterly defeated. This becomes the turning point. Chua makes an unprecedented decision. "Lulu, you win. It's over. We're giving up a violin." For a mother who never allowed quitting, this surrender marks a profound shift. Driven by her recognition of Lulu's matching determination, fears of damaging their relationship, and perspective gained from her sister Katrin's leukemia battle. Afterward, Lulu reduces but doesn't abandon violin. When Chua tries to redirect her ambition to tennis, Lulu responds firmly, "No, Mommy, don't wreck tennis for me like you wrecked violin." As Chua concludes her memoir, she processes events through writing. Though she envisioned writing it with her daughters, they helped recall details while maintaining it was her story to tell. The process reveals how differently family members experience shared moments. Lulu's unexpected gratitude surprises Chua. "Of course I'm glad you forced me to play violin. I'm always going to love the violin. I'm even glad you made me drill exponents and study Chinese." Despite the conflicts, something valuable was transmitted: a work ethic, excellence, and lasting skills. The memoir ends without neat conclusions. While Chua stands by Chinese parenting's core values, she acknowledges its limitations. She defends high expectations, yet recognizes different children may need different approaches. A telling contrast emerges in how she parents her dogs versus children. With Pushkin, her less capable Samoyed, she makes no demands and simply enjoys watching her sleep, implicitly acknowledging parenting's greater complexity. The ultimate wisdom may lie not in choosing between East and West, but in adapting to each child's unique spirit. The tiger mother's greatest strength may be knowing when to listen to her cub's answering call.